Oh, Lord.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We praise God for being here. Welcome to the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. I praise God for each and every one of you on today. It is a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Amen. If you are listening to me right now, you are blessed, not because you're listening to my voice, but because if you're hearing my voice, you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. And that is a reason to give God praise in Jesus' name. I praise God for being here in Jesus' name. I praise God for being in the land of the living one more day in Jesus' name. Praise God in Jesus' name for being here. Praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank God for the topic on today. Before I get started, I do want to say this. I want to give a special, special birthday shout out to two individuals in my life. One, my aunt, Sherry Tuggle, my dad's sister. Happy birthday in Jesus' name. We praise God for you in Jesus' name. My aunt, if you knew my aunt, she has been through a lot in her life, especially what she is dealing with right now. But it's still, God is still good in Jesus' name. We praise God for her life in Jesus' name. Also, I want to give another special birthday shout out, last but not least, to my very own mother. Happy birthday. She celebrated her 61st birthday, and I know she doesn't mind me telling it in Jesus' name, but she has turned 61 in Jesus' name, and she celebrated her birthday on the 31st of March, and she has been praising God all through her birthday weekend in Jesus' name. We calling it her birthday week, birthday weekend. We started it last Sunday at church. We started celebrating her birthday last Sunday, and it's going to continue on in Jesus' name until tomorrow in Jesus' name. I thank God for my father who blessed my mother last night with dinner and everything, and I praise God for my mother still yet being in the land of the living in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'm coming to you guys today. Today is a very, very blessed day because we are still on our series on a Christian of the gospel. And the Lord has given me new revelation on this topic, and I ask for your prayers because and the reason why I ask for your prayers is because, number one, when the Lord gives you something, you are the first partaker in it. Amen. A person should be. And when the Lord gives you a topic or whatever he gives you to do, you are the first partaker. You are the first hit. You are the first person that he speaks with before you compel men with the word of God, whatever God gives you to do. Amen. But you are the first one. You are the first partaker of the word. And today, the Lord has blessed me to be able to be a Christian of the gospel and not only understand the format of being a Christian and being partaker in the gospel and being a carrier of the gospel in Jesus' name. But he has not only given me the outlook on what a Christian is, but he has given me, he has shown me in action what a Christian is. And you have to have, there are certain elements of being a Christian that you have to have. First of all, you have to have a relationship with Christ. That's the first thing. Second thing, the only way that we can have a relationship with, have faith in him. That's one of the ways that we build our relationship, because without faith, the Bible says it is impossible to please him. Amen. And through this process, the Lord has blessed me to be able to understand what holiness, what righteousness, what salvation, what Christianity, what Christian lifestyle is, what the gospel is. Amen. And so when we partake in a Christian lifestyle, we have to have these certain elements. And this is not in my notes. I'm just going off what the Holy Ghost is giving me right now. We have to have certain elements in our Christian lifestyle. We have to have the faith. We have to have the spirit of meekness. We have to have the spirit of humbleness. We have to be humble. We have to have all these different elements in this Christian walk. Amen. But the thing is that today we are going to go into and I've said this before, until the Lord says stop, we're going to continue this. Just like the online prayers that I do on Facebook, that the Lord is having me do on Facebook, till the Lord says stop, the Lord has shown me that time that we are living in, people need to know about salvation. You might think that, oh, well, the whole world knows about salvation. No, they don't. There are some. Now, the whole world will get a chance to receive salvation, because there is nobody that is on this earth that leaves this earth without knowing about salvation. He's given everybody a chance. He said in the last days that he will pour out his spirit upon all flesh. So that means that he's going to give everybody a chance. Now, has everybody heard the word of God? Probably not. Because there are some people that have come in into this world that do not know. They haven't been grown up in there, like myself, or like Bishop Cook, or, you know, various ones that have been saved a while. There are people that have backslidden that know the word but haven't come into the full knowledge of them coming back to Christ. Amen. So this is the Christian lifestyle that we must live in front of sinners. This is the Christian lifestyle that we must live in front of saints. This is the Christian lifestyle that we must live in front of backsliders as well. There are three different types of people in this world. There's saints, there's sinners, and there's backsliders. Amen. And us as we call ourselves Christians, or believers, whatever you want to call yourself, you must have a standard of holiness, whether you believe it or not. You must have a standard of holiness. We must have a standard of holiness in every area of our life. And I was listening to something on yesterday. Those of you that know me and my family knows that as a kid, I used to watch wrestling. I used to watch wrestling on TV, and I still watch it to this day. I don't catch it as much as I used to. But last night I was watching it, and they're having this big old event this weekend. It's WrestleMania weekend and all this stuff. And there was a person that I used to like as a child by the name of The Undertaker. Now, if anybody knows The Undertaker, you know, his character is a little bit out there. But what he said on last night was, I was listening to his induction. He was inducted into the Wrestling Hall of Fame and stuff, and he said something like this. And he said he has three
mental maneuvers that he uses, and now he uses throughout life. And I took notes of what he was saying. And it's very, now I know you might say wrestling is fake and all this stuff, and yeah, it is. But what he was saying was real. The first thing he said was, perception is reality. Perception is reality. And this is a true statement. And we could use this statement in our walk with Christ. I said that to say this. Perception is reality. Okay? And what he meant by that was, is that he was telling this story about how when he first got in the business, he was doing a match and he had a guy that really, that was green behind his ears. And he got mad at the guy because he made that match horrible for him. And he went back there and after the match, and he went back there and started, I guess, yelling at the guy and got mad. And the boss came up to him and said, you know what? People think you're a real jerk. People think that you are a real jerk. And he said, after his boss told him that, he said that he got it in his mind that perception is reality. What people see is what people think of you. Okay? And in this Christian walk that we have, what people see, this is why we need to be having a Christian lifestyle 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because the Bible says that we are to be read by all men. Amen. You might be the only Bible that they see. They might not have never read. There are, like I said earlier, there are some people that have never read a Bible. Honest God, honest truth. There are some people that have never read a Bible. And they might come in contact with you. And for them to get to read the Bible, they might see your life. I have people on my job that come on my job all the time that ask me. I had a young lady that came to me, and I believe I told this story. I had a young lady come to me, and she said she had a son that's disabled like I am, had a stroke, had cerebral palsy and all this stuff. And she said, I'm a little bit skeptical on letting my son work because he has a disability. I don't want nobody taking advantage of him and this and that and this and that. I said, okay. And she said, how do you make it through? And I said, well, it's nothing but the Lord. It's nothing but the Lord. It's nothing but the Lord for me to get up and go to work. It's nothing but the Lord for me to gain the strength to get up and go to work. And I was just talking about my job. But as I got deeper into the conversation with this young lady, I began to tell her the things that the Lord has done for me. Not just me working, but the things that the Lord has brought me from. And it got me into, it opened the door to witness to this young lady. Amen. And what if I had been upset or mad or disgruntled about my disability? Amen. Perception is reality. What people see of you, that's what they're going to think. And sinners, and look, let me show y'all something. Sinners can see it quicker than a saint can. Uh-oh. Sinners can see a saint quicker than a saint can see a saint, believe it or not. And the reason why I say that is because they'll tell you, like, people will try you just to see if you are in that Christian lifestyle that you say you have. People will try, and sinners, and I'm not bashing nobody that's in sin. I'm not bashing them. No, this is not that. But a sinner can see a saint a mile away. Now, we're supposed to see, as saints of God, we're supposed to see saints a mile away quicker than a sinner can. But most times, sinners can see saints quicker than sometimes sinners can see saints quicker than a saint can, because they see their life. I have various examples of where a sinner has saw a saint in the midst of them. Amen. That's why I say perception is reality. Your life is your reality. Amen. And I had I listened to a Hall of Fame a couple years ago. I was watching wrestling again, and I was listening to this Hall of Fame speech of a wrestler, and he said, life is like a dress rehearsal. You're just living out the role that you're supposed to play in. Amen. And I added something to what that wrestler had said. If we are the actors of our life, if we are the stars of our life, amen, if we're playing the lead role, then Jesus should be the director. And a director in a movie or whatever you directing, a director in a play or in a film, that director is that director. He directs, he knows the vision he has for that movie or that play. Amen. And he directs those actors in where he wants them to be. And that star of that movie or that star of that play or that star of that TV show, he makes sure that his star is number one. He has to make sure that the star of that show leads that movie. All right? It's all about that star, the star of the show, the star of that movie. And the way the director directs, that's the way that movie goes. And Jesus is the director of our life. He wants our life to go the way he wants it to. That's why we live a life of sanctification. That's why the you know, they send off scripts, right, to the actors that are going to be playing in this movie or TV show, right? Well, we have in the spiritual, and this goes into a Christian of the gospel. Amen. We have a script that Jesus wrote. We have the Word of God. We have the Word of God to be able to tell us what we need to do, to be able to teach us what we need to do. There are actors that go to acting classes. Look, that's why we should go to church. That's why we should come to Bible class. This is what the Lord has given me right at this moment. The reason why the Lord wants us in our house, in his house, and not always our house, he does not always want to come to us. He wants us to come to him. He wants us in the house of God to learn, to be able to see what God has for us. I told one of my sons one time, I said, every time you go to church, expect something from God. Now, it doesn't necessarily have to be materialistic, but expect something from the Lord. Amen. And when I told my oldest son, expect something from the Lord when you go to church, because he always has something for you. I'm telling the people that are listening today, when you go to church, this is why the Bible says, forsake not the assembly of the brethren. There is strength in numbers. Amen. There is strength in the house of God. There's not just learning, but there's strength there. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Christ is the church. And he gave out a plan. He gave, like I said on last week, I said this. Jesus gave us a plan. A plan, y'all. And his plan is right. His plan for your life is yes and amen. But it is up to us to walk in that plan for it to be yes and amen. Because not always is God going to say yes and amen to everything that we want to do. Amen. He's not going to say yes to everything. And I'm going to tell you that now. He's not going to say yes to everything. Everything, and let, if this, you might think, okay, say, and I'll give this example, say somebody does something to you and your flesh rises up and wants to retaliate. Lord's not going to tell you to go after that person. Lord might tell you to pray for them, and you might be like, well, Lord, pray for them. What do you mean pray for them? But did you not just see what they did to me? Lord, I need you to get them. Get them. Okay, that's praying amiss. God's not going to answer that prayer. God's not going to answer that prayer. But the Bible says, touch my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You are not, let me say this. If you're telling God to go get somebody, you're not in his will. I don't know who that was for. That's not what that scripture means. Touch not my anointed. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, also, for those that think that way. I don't know who I'm talking to. The Bible says, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The battle don't belong to you. The battle belongs to the Lord. And I know in a Christian lifestyle, in a Christian walk, we have people that want to use us. We have people that want to abuse us. That people think that, hey, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what they don't know what they're doing. They don't know this. They don't know that. They don't know when I'm doing this to them. And quite frankly, they do. For the people that think that the Christian lifestyle is a punk lifestyle, and I'm just going to put it that way, let me tell you something. If you walking in Christ, you ain't no punk. Well, I would have dealt with them. Your friends telling you, well, I would have dealt with them differently. That's because you are in a worldly mindset. That's why you would have dealt with them differently. But I got to deal with them the way God tells me to deal with them. So anybody that has the perception that, oh, well, that's a punk move. That's a punk. You ain't no punk because the Lord told you to stand down. Uh-oh. Because you got advice to stand down. That ain't no punk. That's actually being wise. The Bible says be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You can't be going out here fighting and arguing and carrying on. You can't do that. Not as a saint of God. You can't. Because you got people watching you. You got people looking up to you. I had, this brother's gone on to be with the Lord now, but I had somebody that was older than me. He was like in his 40s or 50s when he told me this. Like 40s or 50s when he told me this. And he said, Brother Adam, I look up to you. I'm like, what? And at my former church, we used to, as us being kids growing up, we used to call our some of the members of the church aunts and uncles, you know, stuff like that. They wasn't really our blood uncles or blood aunties, but we call them that because we were spiritual family. We were connected by the blood of Jesus. Amen. So I'd be like, oh, you know, I don't see how you looking up to me, and I'm, you know, way younger than you. He said, it's not about age. It's about the stance that you have that I look up to. So, okay. But people, I said that to say that people look up to us. And when you're walking in Christ, if you're a Christian of the gospel, you will be looked up to. If you're walking in holiness, you're going to have somebody watch you and tell you. I had a lady that I did not know. I was walking. One day I was at the mall by myself. And I went in there to shop. Anybody that know me know I love shopping for clothes sometimes when I had money, amen. But back before I got married, I was a bull. That's why my dad had to tell me, you know, you ain't gonna be able to shop like you used to when you're living here. And God was he right. Amen. That's a different story for another day. But I was out at the mall, and I was shopping, had a little extra money, and I wanted to buy myself some clothes or whatever. And this lady saw me in this store, and she said, I don't know who you are. I don't know you. She said, but I see a glow on you that I've never seen before on anybody. And she said, you just seem so happy. You seem like you don't go through anything. It just seems like you're happy all the time. And I've just met you. I said, ma'am, but if you only knew, if you only knew about the tests and the trials that I've been through. And I began to tell her some of my testimony. And she said, I would have never known it. The way you're carrying yourself. Amen. So perception is reality. Amen. Another key point that I saw last night, which goes into this, is having loyalty and respect. These are two things that are in the kingdom of God. You might say, well, how is loyalty and respect? The Bible doesn't say respect. The Bible doesn't say loyalty. But it does say reverence. Mm-hmm. It does say follow. I mean, that's what a relationship with Christ is, loyalty. It does say reverence. It does say honor. That's respect. Amen. It's a thing that we must have in our Christian walk, in our Christian lifestyle. Amen. This is something that we must take on, and this is something that I heard last night from this man. He stepped out of his character and began to tell. Every fan that was a fan of his, or that is a fan of his, he began to break from character because he said, I had lived this character for 30 years. He said, I haven't been myself for 30 years because I would always go around. And for 30 years, now watch this. I watched, as a kid, I watched him debut. And what he was saying, I watched him debut in wrestling. And I have to use this. He never changed whatsoever. Not that I saw. And he was loyal to the company. He was loyal to the business that he worked for. He was loyal to the boss that he had. He was loyal to, and he had respect for the people. Every person that talked about this man said that he was a locker room leader. He was a leader in his profession. That's what he was. And that's the way we need to be. We, in this Christian lifestyle, we must be leaders. But to be a good leader, you have to be a good follower. You have to follow. That's why the Bible says, follow peace with all men. Amen. To gain respect of your peers, to gain respect of, to gain a favor from the Lord, you have to follow peace with all men. Sometimes I gain favor on my job because I show my boss respect. I respect him in his position, even though I'm older than him. He's younger than me, but I still show him respect in his position. He's over me. I have so much respect for my job and so much respect for the Lord that I show respect to others, even though they may not believe what I believe in. I still give them the same proper respect that I would give God. Why? Now, are they God? No, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that if I love the Lord, I'm going to love like Christ loved. Because Christ told me to love everybody as Christ loved the church. Now, I know the Bible says, well, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. But we must love people like Christ loved the church. Not go so far as to you know, as a husband does a wife, they would die for their wife and all of that stuff. Or, you know, we don't go so far as that. Or, you know, for our children. But we love them in a godly type of love. We don't spew venom. We don't spew anger. Now, the Bible does say be angry, but sin not. We don't spew sin. We don't spew out of our mouths, out of our actions. We don't spew sin. We don't do that. And a lot of people get that confused. They get it confused to the point that, hey, they're like, wait a minute. If you kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. In the church. This is happening in the church. Right inside there. And it's wrong. It's wrong. And I'm saying it now. It is very much wrong for a person to be so-called in Christ and saying that, hey, if you kill my dog, I'm going to kill your cat. I'm going to get back at you. That's not holiness. It's not, and I'm going to say it again, it's not holy. Because the Bible says holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. You have to be holy in everything you do. You must have a Christian lifestyle in everything that we do and everything that we say. That's why the Bible tells us in whatsoever we do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have to do it underneath the name of Jesus. When we come into this Christian lifestyle, we are a representation of Christ. Like when I walk out my door, I am a representation of my family. When I walk out my door and people are seeing me, I want people to see that my parents did a good job with me. They raised a young man, not a hooligan, or not a thug out there on the street. Not somebody that would just get disrespectful with people. But I want to portray that. So I want to portray the love of Christ, the love of Christ that God put down on the inside of me. And this is what we need to do. And the only way we can live a Christian lifestyle is that we follow the word of God, which is the gospel. And we said it on, we said that in this series, we said that the gospel of Jesus Christ is three things. It is the history of Jesus Christ, it is the story of Jesus Christ, and it is the instruction of Jesus Christ. Amen? It is an anointed history, it is an anointed story, and it is an anointed instruction. This is what the gospel is. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, you must carry the gospel of Jesus Christ every day. That's why the Bible says, I've hid the word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You have hid the gospel in your heart so you might not sin against him. Amen? We have to hide this gospel in our heart. And what I mean by hiding the gospel, it doesn't mean hiding it and tucking it away where you don't tell anybody about it. You hide it in your heart for when battles come, when trials come, you can pull it out. And you, when you're feeling like you can't go no more, you can pull out a scripture and say, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Hallelujah. And when you're going through, you can say, thank you, Jesus. I'm getting filled already. You can quote Romans 8:28. For and we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. We got the stories and we got the history of the gospel of Jesus Christ to look back on. We got stories of the gospel of Jesus Christ to look back on that we can read upon. Hallelujah. If we're low on our faith, if we feel like the Lord is not answering, we can go back to those stories and read them and refill ourselves. Amen. We can go back and build our most holy faith. Sometimes we need to be recharged. Sometimes we need to be rebuilt. Sometimes we need to be rejuvenated. Amen. In the Word of God. And that's what the gospel is there for. That's why we said it is a holy, it is an anointed story, it is an anointed history, and it is an anointed instruction. That's what the gospel is. But we have people come in Jude 1, it says that we have ungodly men that have crept in unaware. They've crept in. We have ungodly people that have a form of godliness, the Bible says. The Bible says that the people have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We have ungodly men that have a form of godliness, but they have crept in unaware. They are wolf in sheep's clothing, false prophets that have come to pervert the word of God. That's why the Bible tells us if any person, if any man, if there's an angel from heaven come preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. We shouldn't partake in any other gospel. What does that mean? That means we should not partake in anything that is outside of the gospel. We should not listen to anything that is outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially when it's talking about salvation. If you are talking about salvation, you have to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to have, if they're telling, and I use this as an example all the time, if somebody's telling you, okay, if the Bible says in Acts 2 and 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay? Boom. We got that. On the day of Pentecost, they were all on one accord, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, and the Spirit of God gets the utterance. That's the day the Holy Ghost fell. We got that. Now, if somebody comes at me and tells me that that's not right, why would I believe you? If I'm sin, the Bible says that he does not change. In Hebrews, he said he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word does not change. Before any tiller of his word become void, which means becomes false, becomes a lie, heaven and earth will pass away. His word is the gospel is going to stand even after we're long gone. If there's anything that will stand the test of time, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There are things in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the word of God, that we can pull out. And what I mean by pull out, we can use against our flesh. We can use against spirits that are ungodly. We can use those things against the enemy himself. This is the Christian lifestyle that we are talking about. This is being a Christian of the gospel. You cannot be a Christian of the gospel carrying the gospel and acting any kind of way. You can't do it. There's no way around it. You have to. And everything that we are seeing today, everything that we are witnessing today in this world today, God is on his way back here. He is on his way back. And we have to be ready. It's all leading up to the coming of the Lord. We are living in, and I'm going to show you something. Today's church, the church era that we are living in, is the Laodicean era, the last church era. We ain't in the Church of Philadelphia, which was one of the best church eras, and this is in the book of Revelation. We are living in the lukewarm church. We have, let me show y'all something. We have churches that promote homosexuality, that promote lesbianism, that promote that it's not just that, but they promote sin. They promote, hey, you can live it up and party it up and still be saved. The devil is a lie. We have that. And God is separating the wheat from the tares. He's separating the two. He's separating the wheat from the tares. And the one thing that the one thing about that is, what he means by separating the wheat from the tares is he's separating the saints from the ants. You can't serve we, and I'm not even going to say you, we, me included. We can't serve two masters. We must hate the one and love the other. We must serve one and deny the other. And in that, we can't serve our flesh and also serve God. We can't do it. You might say, well, why not? Because a double-minded man, the Bible says, is stable in all his ways. You're double-minded. And you crazy. You crazy if you think, and I'm just going to put it that way, you crazy if you think you can serve God and serve man, and what I mean by man, and serve sin at the same time. You're double-minded. You're crazy. A person that thinks that way, they crazy. Well, I can still club it up and live to Jesus. I had somebody come to me one time, actually just about a week or two ago, and they asked me, why is it that Jesus doesn't like us drinking and smoking? It's just a simple question. I answered the question, and I told them. I said anything, and I gave them this example, and if you're dealing with this, I want you to hear me. Or any other type of thing. I want you to hear me. God, first of all, God does not want us to partake in anything that will alter our minds. Thing that alters you into a state where you are doing wrong or can do wrong, or that alters your body in a hazardous state or in a medical state that can harm your body. He doesn't want that for you. That stuff leads to bad things happening to your body. It can alter your mindset. He does not want that for you. It's bringing damnation to your body. It's bringing harm to your body. And you might say, well, no, because I've had people tell me that, oh, me, and I'm not bashing anybody. This is not to bash anybody, but I'm just showing you what a Christian lifestyle is. I had some people tell me, well, me smoking weed and all of this stuff, it mellows me. I got something that's even more mellow than that. I told somebody one time that offered me, I had a guy, I was on a bus stop downtown, and this guy came up to me and he said, He said, man, I got this good stuff here. I got this good stuff right here. I said, well, I'm like looking at him like, okay, what the heck? I don't even know you. I don't even know who you are. Man, I wasn't saying that to be mean. I'm like, I don't even know. I'm looking at him like, I don't know who you are. You kind of catching me off guard. And I asked him, I said, well, what is it? He said, yeah, I got this good weed right here. This will get you high, man. This will get you high. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I'm like, first of all, bro, I don't smoke. Never have, never will. I just don't do it. Even in my unsaved life, I just didn't think that was a good thing for me to do. That's never been one of my vices in life. I thank God for it. I thank God for that never being one of my vices in life. But I said, you know what? I said, no. I said, thank you, but no thank you. I'm not going to do all that. And when the guy was walking away from me, the Lord said, stop him. The Lord started dealing with me in that short amount of time where he walked away. And the Lord said, since he offered you something, you offer him something. I was like, oh, okay. And the Lord was giving me what to say when I walked up to this man. I said, hey, bro, you know, since you offered me something, even though I didn't take it, I said, I want to show my appreciation to you. Not for what you offered me, but that was just a stepping stone into me leading into what the Holy Ghost was. Because, like I said, you got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. That was just leading into what the Lord was offering him. I just said those words just to lean into it. Amen. And he said, well, that's all right, bro. I know you don't do that. You told me you don't smoke. You don't do this. I said, but I got something better than that. And he said, what? He said, what you got better than this? I said, it's a great drug. I said, it's a drug that you can get high off of. See, you don't have to sin to get on people's level. That's another thing, too. You don't have to sin to get on people's levels. You ain't got to go. You don't have to go down. If they're down there, you ain't got to go to people's levels to reach them. That's why some of the church folks say, well, we got to do something to reach them. We got to do something to reach. Give them what they gave us. Give them an altar. Give them the word of God. Give them the same thing that they gave us growing up. You ain't got to lower your standards for nobody. Amen? And that was the other thing. I told this man, I said, this will get you high. And when you come down feeling so good. And I was being truthful. And I wasn't. I was connecting with him on his level. I wasn't sinning. I never mentioned any sinful nature, because you can get high off the Holy Ghost. Amen? And it can have you feeling so good. It will have you staggering. It will have you drunk. You can get high and drunk off of it at the same time. You can be spiritually drunk. You can be spiritually high and feel so good coming down, and you ain't got to worry about no headache, no hangovers, no nothing like that. It's true. I've done it. Trust me. I done had spiritual hangovers. I done had spiritual highs where I felt so good coming down, I was able to sleep. I slept like a baby. I promise you. Came home, slept like a baby. Had so much fun at church, slept like a baby. But I offered him this. And I said, he said, well, what's it called? I said, Lord, what am I calling? And the Lord spoke through me and said, HG. He said, HG, I ain't never heard of that drug. He said, that sounds kind of cool. He said, what is that? And I said, have you ever been to a place where you can, have you ever been to a place where you got to go get your drugs from and you purchase your drug? I wasn't trying to get him in trouble or anything, because I didn't want him to think I was a cop or anything like that. But I said, have you ever been to a place where you had to purchase your drug? He said, yeah, I got to purchase them all the time. You know, people got to get paid, you know. I said, yeah, well, this HG is free. Because, and I said, the man that gives it to you, he will set you free. Because he said, he told me, if he sets you free, you're free indeed. And he said, who? He said, this man give you free drugs? I said, yeah, he gives you free drugs. He gives you free. And if you want to get drunk, he can give you free drink too. You just got to take the Bible says, though, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. Amen. You can taste of him. Amen. And so I began to tell him, I said, it's HG. And you can get high and drunk off of it. And he said, what is it? I said, it's the Holy Ghost. And he said, oh, man, come on. He was like, I thought you was talking about a real drug. I said, it is a real drug. I said, it is. It's a real drug because it kept me. It keeps me. It keeps me going. I said, it's better than what you have, young man. He said, well, where do I find it at? He said, I've heard about it, but where do I find it? I've never known how to get it. I said, go to Acts 2 and 38. Go in your Bible and read Acts 2 and 38. I gave that man my number. And I told him to call me after he got done reading. And he called me. Now, I don't know where this young man is today, but there was a seed planted. Amen. There was a seed planted. One planted the seed, one watered the seed, but God gave the increase. Amen. This is the Christian lifestyle that we must live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord is leading me to say this. The last part of that speech that I watched last night, he said, the Undertaker said, the last mental maneuver that I use, the first one was perception is reality. The second one was loyalty and respect. And the third one was never be content. Never be content. What the Lord gave to me was, in these last couple minutes that I have, is never be content where you are. You want to grow closer to God as you live. Amen. In your Christian lifestyle, in your Christian walk, in your Christian, being a Christian of the gospel, never be content where you are. Always look to God to be able to grow in him, to get closer to him. Because when you get closer to him, you are getting yourself that much more ready for the rapture of the church. Stay close to God. Stay close to him. I kid you not, stay close to him. I guarantee you, if you stay close to him, if you stay loyal and respectful to the service of God, the Bible says in Romans 12 and 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you give your life to him, don't stay content on where you are. Get more out of life in him. Get all that you can. Get everybody. That's why it's good to come to church. That's why it's good to come to Bible class. That's why it's good to read the word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. Get more, get all you can. Just like we tell our children to get all the education you can. Get all of the word of God that you can. Get all the prayer in that you can. Get all the fasting in that you can. Get all of the closeness to God. Because there is no such thing as being too close to God. There is no such thing. God wants you as close to him. He wants you as close to him as it states in, I believe, in 2 Corinthians 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses, I think it's 16, between 16, 17, and 18, where he wants to walk, where he wants to live in us, he wants to walk in us. That's how close he wants to be. That's how close he wants to be in us. That's how that, and look, once you get that close, John chapter 10, verse 10 says that he came to give us life and that more abundantly. He wants you to live that abundant life. That's why I said his rewards and his answers are yes and amen for our lives. But we got to get close. We got to build that relationship. Amen. I pray that this has blessed you on today. It don't even seem like it's been an hour, but we got five minutes here. And in these last 5 minutes, I want to say this. The Lord is leading me. I believe now that the Lord is leading me better than ever to do this. And I am on the road to, I've been putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, but the Lord has told me through the man and woman of God, and I believe the Lord has spoke to me to do this, to write a book. Amen. And the book that he has given me to write is about holiness. And so pray for me as I go through this journey of, because I used to write in high school. I used to love writing in high school. Man, I pull out a pen and a piece of paper and write like crazy. Amen. So I love writing. So pray for me as I do this. And you might say, well, you got so many stuff that you want to do. I'm never content. I'm never content on what the Lord has for me to do. I'm never content. In Jesus' name. I thank God for this broadcast on today. I praise God for the watchman on the wall for this broadcast, for this station, this network, in Jesus' name, the Spirit Alive Network, Bishop Cook. Thank you for allowing us to come one more time, in Jesus' name. I know she's listening. But I thank God for this platform that you have, that the Lord has given you to be able to bless souls, in Jesus' name. I thank God for allowing a young 34-year-old young man to come on here and to teach the Word of God that does not know much. I don't claim to know much. I know a little bit. But the little bit that I do know, you, with the help of the Lord, allow me to come and teach, and I thank God for that in Jesus' name. And I count it as an honor and a privilege just to come and to teach on this network in Jesus' name. I praise God for each and every listener. Continue to listen to the. We will be getting back to the podcast. I know some of you all have tried to tune into the podcast and listen, and it's been the same old episodes on there, but the Lord has allowed me to push back from the podcast a little bit and do some other things in Jesus' name, but we're going to get back to it in Jesus' name. Amen. I love you all. God bless you all. And as it states in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. This is the only way to see heaven one day in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on the Spirit Alive Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I thank you for listening. I thank God for this Saturday. Thank God for everybody in Jesus' name. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. And as my grandmother used to say, If you don't see me again, or since we're on the radio, you can't see me, but if you don't hear my voice again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.